This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Gay radio, online, all the time. joy.org.au.
Hello and welcome to The Informer. Dean Beck with you this evening, and we will take a look at the horrific shootings that took place in Orlando. If you've had enough of it, I suggest you turn away. But we'll analyse some of the responses that have been going on both locally and an international flavour when Dr. Lauren Rose Warne from Melbourne University School of Social and Political Sciences joins us. At least 50 people have been killed in the mass shooting, some 53 people injured. At 2 a.m, a gunman opened fire in Orlando's Pulse gay nightclub.
The bang, 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 that was part of a song. And then when you turn around, the person next to you is like screaming, there's blood splattering. I didn't know if it was mine or somebody else's.
The shooting became a hostage situation.
Oh my God.
At 5 a.m, police stormed the building using explosives and a ram car. The gunman was killed. The suspect, Omar Mateen, 29, born in New York, from Afghan descent. His family report homophobia. His wife reports abuse. And in 2013 and 14, Mateen had been investigated by the FBI for alleged links to terrorism. But they could not verify any of the claims.
It has been reported that Mateen made calls to 911 this morning in which he stated his allegiance to the leader of the Islamic State.
The shooting is being investigated as a terrorist incident. And the world's LGBTI community are in shock. But as the days have unfolded, there's been quite a few different reports of various things and much pontificating. Survivors locked in the bathroom in the Pulse nightclub with Mateen reported him saying to 911 that he was doing this because he wanted America to stop the bombing of his country. Previously, he'd also called emergency hotlines to pledge his allegiance to the Islamic State. And it's emerged that Mateen was a regular patron, or at least been to Pulse nightclub on many occasions, and perhaps even had a Grindr profile. Regardless of the motivations, the outcomes are simply tragic and horrific. And it affects us all. It could have been us. The major point of difference is that we have much tougher gun laws following our own mass murder incident in Port Arthur. Gun control, terrorism, marriage equality are all polarising issues, sadly for many people. But what has transpired by some of our country's right-wing commentators has been extraordinary. Rita Panahi from the Herald Sun and Andrew Bolt from News Limited and Sky have chimed in on the issues, and they are many and varied. But the conclusion they've come to is that LGBTI people aren't rebelling enough. Put simply, we aren't mad enough at the Muslims. Now, Tom Elliott turned his attention to the Muslim cleric from London yesterday, and this was what he had to say. This is Andrew Bolt.
The British-born Muslim hate preacher, Sheikh Farouk Sekalashvar, who 3 years ago in an American university preached that gays should be killed.
Death is the sentence. I mean, look, there's nothing to be embarrassed about this. That death is the sentence. We have to have that compassion for people. With homosexuality, the same. Out of compassion, let's get rid of him now.
This sheikh, as I noted last night, has actually preached at the University of Western Sydney a couple of years ago without anyone protesting. In fact, he's in Australia right now, this week, having been invited to preach at an Islamic centre in Earlwood in Sydney. Now, no problem with his visa. No protests outside his lectures by Islamic activists, socialist demonstrators, not even one by gay groups. Only now is the government, since I broke this news on my blog, finally checking his visa status. Too late.
Well, we can thank Andrew Bolt for that, I guess. He then decided that it was important for us to get an understanding on a local level of what owning a gay nightclub is like and how this would be affecting our people. So he spoke to Tom McFeely from The Peel.
You own a venue, much like the one just attacked in Florida. This must hit you and your customers pretty hard.
Yes, it did when we got the news through. And I'm listening to staff this morning after we closed. Some of them who were new, some who'd recently joined the Peel and who were excited. Now they're fearful. And watching their faces, it's just not right.
Tom, you've had a bit to say about gay matters in the past. Why do you think gay groups in Australia have said virtually nothing about what we're seeing about the persecution of gays, particularly in the Middle East? All right, we had 50 killed in Orlando, or most of them were gay men, and that is horrible. But gays in Syria and Iraq and Iran have been killed for years. Nothing.
Yes, nothing. Nothing is said. Nothing. No one wants to tackle this issue in particular. I've got no idea. Why not? I don't know if they're just trying to be, in their head, politically correct. But they have to face reality at some point. And I don't know why they're not speaking out. Part of me would like to see that there's perhaps fear. And I would respect that. But I don't think it is fear. I think they're just slaves to the left-wing media.
Tom McFeely with Andrew Bolt on the Bolt Report Sky News. Joy 94.9's program director, James Finlay, was a little upset. James, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
You wrote a piece on Facebook that has gone gangbusters. It is viral. It was number one trending in Melbourne on Twitter.
Yeah, and Sydney.
And Sydney, no less. Wow.
Unfortunately, I watched that part of the Bolt Report last night.
Do you often watch the Bolt Report, James?
Sometimes my housemate has it on. Okay. He's a journalist.
Thank you.
And then I also came across the piece from 3AW's Drive program. Mm.
Which, unfortunately,
with Tom Elliott.
Missed. But,
And I was so angry. I couldn't sleep last night. I woke up at 6 o'clock this morning and I just thought, you know, I didn't know what to do. And I thought, you know what? I've got a computer. Let me keyboard warrior this out.
Powered this out, and it's fantastic. Can you read a couple of paragraphs from it?
Yeah, look, you've covered most of it, but I think the thing that really hit me was that Panahi said in the 3AW interview that if it was a Christian shooter, there'd be no hesitation from the left to attack the Christian community, which I think is ridiculous. And I'll tell you why LGBTI peoples, regardless of their political positioning, don't respond with hatred, especially towards groups. And it's because we've been discriminated against and persecuted our entire lives. We know exactly what it's like. We have politicians who regularly tell us that we're child groomers. We have church leaders who tell us that we have mental disorders. Family members who don't think that we're fit to have children. You know, do we hate all people of Christian faith? No. Because we know that not all people from that faith believe it. And we also know that many LGBTI people can also be of Christian faith. Then do we ban Muslims and hate their religion because of some people in that faith, you know, throw us off buildings? They stone us to death and then they shoot us in nightclubs. Well, no, we don't do that either because we know that not all Muslims believe that. And we know that there are LGBTI people of Muslim faith, and we need to be there for those people as well. And that's just something that these people don't realise. And we know, like I said, we know what it's like to be persecuted and hated, and we know what it does to our communities. And Dean, you and I both know that the outcome for that is grim.
Are you surprised at the reaction that your letter has got?
Yeah, I really am, because when I wrote it this morning at 6:30 in my pajamas, I really didn't think that it would be retweeted like 200 times from my account. Jill Stark
alone, yeah,
put it on her account, and that was retweeted another 150. You know, I had I had journalists from Fairfax retweeting it, Will Anderson, comedians. It was I got messages of support from people that I'd never talked to in my life, people from religious backgrounds tweeting to me saying thank you so much for this. I had
and high profile people in the media too.
That's right. And you know, and then same asked me to write one for them as well. So I did that. But the thing was, it's what I heard was, it's this is what we've been trying to articulate all week, and it's been what we've been trying to get off our chests, and to have that relate to so many people was quite incredible.
Are you able to stay with us for the program?
Of course.
Thank you. Dr. Laurent Rose-Warne joins us from the Melbourne University School of Social and Political Sciences. Dr. Laurent Rose-Warne, what's your analysis of how the reaction has been to this? Because it seemed that there were people trying to clamour at bits of this. You know, the terror, they were hooking on the terrorism, they were hooking on the gun control, they were hooking on the Latino side, they were hooking on the homophobia side. And yet it's all a melting pot of all of that.
But this is symptomatic of the 24-hour news cycle, and the fact that there has to be a constant stream of different angles. I was watching CNN for the past couple of days, and it's incredibly depressing because it's grief porn. Mm. What they do is they set up a camp outside the nightclub and just interview endlessly victims and victims and victims and ask them to emote on screen. And all we get is this procession of public emotions that don't actually add any value to the analysis, but what they actually do is fuel terrorists to say, this is actually how you can carve up a community.
Mm.
So I think the media has to take some responsibility in both how it covers it, and I've written about this previously in regards to mass shootings in the United States and how they're covered, but also how the media does not generally do a very good job with nuance, and it likes to carve up this as a story of good and evil, as opposed to understanding the many, many layers here. For me, for example, I have a really strong concern with how masculinity is never spoken about. We like to clutch hold of toxic religion as being a driver here. In fact, what is the commonality between all of these mass shootings, regardless of who the perpetrator? Oh my God, it was a man behind the gun. Yeah, we can talk about gun control as well. I think there's a lot of aspects about gun control that make it very complicated in a different situation in the US than Australia. But the media don't do this job. They want to do it as a good and evil, simple story of us versus them. And I think this is sad, but it is common, and it's common in Australia as well.
There was a sense at first that some were trying to bury the LGBTI aspect of what was going on, that the focus was on the terrorism side of things, and the fact that there were 50 people in a gay club killed was sort of secondary almost.
Oh, but is the LGBTI Latino community a particularly sympathetic group in the United States? And this is my concern where Anderson Cooper did a really good job. Admittedly, that was perhaps the hardest thing I've watched in the coverage, where he says, A, I'm not naming the perpetrator, and B, I'm going to read out every name and tell you a little bit about every victim, so that's what sticks with us, as opposed to this constant narrative of what was the past of this perpetrator? Like, how did he self-radicalise? Did he ever visit Disneyland? And that kind of perverse type of preoccupation with the perpetrator, and not focusing on, hang on, these were group of largely men, but some women as well, who went out and have a good time all night. And that story doesn't get told, and I think this gives us a very hijacked narrative.
There was a rally in Orlando that the mayor spoke at, and an evangelical Latino pastor got up and spoke very powerfully about how not all evangelical churches cast adrift LGBTI people, he expressed his concern for both communities, Latino and LGBTI, which were very much united by this tragedy. And we've seen that all over the world.
Yeah, and this sort of debate of how do we want to frame this? Is it a hate crime? Is it an act of terrorism? Terrorism fits into the narrative that we like to talk about because, again, the path has been paved in terms of talking about radicalisation and fundamentalist faith, as opposed to the more complicated story of hate crime, because then we have to turn the attention on our culture and ask, actually, what is it in our culture where a man who actually was born in the United States, who had this level of hate, it could be self-hate, director because perhaps there is a story being told that perhaps he was home. That doesn't matter. It's this sense of what we won't talk about because the terrorism aspect is so much juicier and passion-driven.
Graham has sent this message through on 0427JOY949. Is it discrimination to attack a religious group because the attack persecute and kill members of our community? Why won't our radio station stand up for our community worldwide while our members are subject to the worst lives and deaths possible from religious groups that also mutilates women and treats them as less than equal? James, you're the most senior person here. Joy is doing things in regards to the coverage of this. We have a big day planned tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right. And our International Current Affairs program, Worldwide Wave, did a very good program, fantastic program last night. You know, we cover as much as we can.
There's also, I guess, and you spoke about it at our meeting today, there is a need for Joy to be joyful.
Absolutely. We've had a lot of comments over the past couple of days. Look, Joy has a lot of different purposes. And one of them is to keep people uplifted. And it's a very important purpose. And the thing is, day to day, the people in our LGBTI communities do experience a lot of discrimination. We don't want to be reminded about that every day.
And they suffer, you know, greater depression and anxiety than other sectors. And so an uplifting radio station that empowers and informs,
that's right,
which is our charter, is something that does provide a valuable service, and we do cover it. Last night's crew did a tremendous job. We're doing our best on tonight's show, and tomorrow we'll be recording the Federation Square gathering.
That's right. But it is about balance. You know, we've got to cover the stories that are really important to our diverse communities, but we also need to take into account that a lot of people do need to be brought out of the rut that they have in their everyday lives. People don't want to be hearing about this every day, every minute.
Graham's question really speaks to why don't we stand up against the Muslim and Islamic faith?
Yeah, you're asking me.
Lauren? that, I guess, was the point of the likes of Bolt.
I think there's a couple of points. The first is that the LGBTI community, much like women, which were also mentioned in Graham's email, is the reality that we know marginalisation. We know what it's like to be persecuted on the basis of one trait. So the idea then to suddenly turn around and become A, hateful, and B, warmongers, that has never been the remit of the left. This isn't how we respond. So I think, firstly, the right pressing that button and agitating that why aren't the left more angry? Well, in fact, anger can be had and not also channeled into violence and acts of aggression. So I think on one hand, that's just bear baiting. That's just the right doing what they do. I think the other aspect is that there is no singular Muslim community, much like there is no singular LGBTI community. And therefore, to try and demonise and call them out, I think that's doing us a disservice for actually pretending we don't understand nuance. We're better than that.
And as James stated already, we are amongst them.
Yeah, but it's also this idea though of talking as though Muslims is or Islam is one entity and that every individual has the same set of beliefs. That's just untrue.
You are listening to The Informer on Joy 94.9. We're taking a look at the tragedy that took place in Orlando, Florida. We're joined now by our CEO, Tennille Moisel. Tennille, we did have a meeting today about this and discussed it at length and our role in this space.
Absolutely. I think one of the things that our community has always been really, really fantastic at is checking in on each other and making sure that we are supported and safe and we know how to come together really, really well and support each other. So I guess the message from Joy is that we have, as a community, faced all sorts of adversity. We've never been a community to retaliate in the way that I guess there are some calls from some parts of the broader community coming to us now. We are a community that knows how to survive and how to be resilient in this sort of thing. And we know that hate doesn't do anything for us. So as an organisation, we will continue to be a platform for the celebration of our community, to give voice and to be able to celebrate those stories that exist out there. This for us doesn't change anything. It really consolidates for us. So we're really proud to be able to provide that service to our community.
And it's like what we do on Christmas Day. You know, we're always live on air and we're always there because we think it's important to be on those days where we or our community might be most troubled. You know, that's why we're on air now, so that we can have these difficult conversations and hopefully counter some of the ridiculous things that we've been encouraged by some to do.
Yeah, it's just not who we are. I think that's the kind of critical thing here. As a community, we have always been able to look at adversity and rather than feel all of those feelings, that these feelings of hatred that I can't imagine where they come from. At the end of the day, we're talking about people and the compassion that we feel towards each other. We actually feel towards the broader community as well. It's almost innate for us. So we will continue to do that as a broader community and here at Joy as well.
We've just received a message from Aaron, who is in Doha, Qatar. He says he apologises, can't type much, but he would just love to say that he has many, many Muslim friends who are the same as us and live in and amongst our communities. He's enjoying the show. Thank you very much for that, Aaron. And look, there are gay Muslims.
Of course there are. We cut across, and I always say that that's the really interesting thing about our community is that we aren't governed by a set of religious rules. We don't have books and books of history that kind of tell us where we've come from that we can cling to. We create our histories every time we come together. That's what we do. We cut across.
Dr. Lauren Rose Warren, what sort of significance will this play out as America's largest shooting and it being connected to the LGBTI community? Do you think this become some form of future stonewall?
Yeah, it's hard to predict these kind of things because it's also got the added burden of happening in an election year. So that will be...
And surrounded in terrorism.
Yeah, and this will be part of the football that it becomes in terms of how it's being hijacked by the candidates. So I think we need a little bit more time. I'd like to see this as being a sign that we have in most countries around the world, very few can be let off the hook on this one, that we have state-sanctioned bullying against certain groups in the population where we treat as a state individuals differently. So then I don't think we can look at an atrocity like this and say, oh, that's one man. No, this is also happening on a state level. It might be different crimes, but we still carve up the community and treat people differently. And I think if we can learn from that and learn that we actually have to turn the camera on ourselves and what we're doing, that would be, I think, a positive to come out of this awfulness.
And just turning our attention to this new United States election briefly, it seems to be fairly clearly divided. We've seemed to have two halves that are very much one vote or the other. What happens after the election when you're left with half of the country that didn't want it?
Worse than that, it's not half the country. In America, only roughly half the people ever get off their asses and vote.
Sure.
So therefore, you're splitting. You're talking a quarter of the population voting the president. So that, if anything's to come out of this, I'd like a whole lot of people who have affinities with the LGBTI community to say to themselves, actually, I'm going to get up and vote this time.
But they're so polar opposite that whatever the result, there's going to be
angry, unhappy people.
Yeah.
And this is always this concern of how do you get, when the factions are becoming further and further apart, how do you get a leader who bridges that? And I think this is a problem because both candidates are pushing themselves further away from each other rather than together. Not an unwise strategy. Who wants to get any closer to Trump? But what happens afterwards, how do you appease a whole lot of angry people if Hillary gets in, a whole lot of angry armed people?
It's terrifying.
It is.
It's like when people talk about why doesn't someone shoot Trump? It answers the question you began with. The left don't resort to that. It wouldn't happen if it was in the reverse, it would be very different. But the left don't think, oh, hang on a sec, I'll just go and grab my gun as a solution.
James Findlay, congratulations on your piece that
congratulations.
Gone viral right around the country. Dr. Lauren Rose Warren from Melbourne University School of Social and Political Sciences.
Thank you
for joining us on The Informer. And to Neil Moisel, Joy 94.9 CEO. Thank you for popping in.
Absolutely.
There will be a podcast of this episode of The Informer. It'll be available from Joy's website, joy.org.au/The Informer, and you can follow us on Twitter at The Informer Joy. My name is Dean Beck. You can follow me on Twitter at Dean Beck on Air. And we'll end this program with the London Gay Men's Chorus in a packed Soho vigil for Orlando, singing Like a Bridge Over Troubled Water.
Troubled water.
And if any of the conversation that we have had this evening has in some way upset you and you wish to talk to someone, give Beyond Blue a call or check out their website, beyondblue.org.au. Lifeline is there for you too, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with a referral service and counselling. 13 11 14 is their number, 13 11 14. And if you'd like to speak to someone from our community, the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard is available at 1800 184 527.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.